podcast where we inform, encourage, and support Christian indie writers on the journey toward publication. My name is Jennifer Carl Tong, and I write historical Christian romance.
Hi, I'm Jamie Hirschberger. I write short fiction under the pen name J.R. Nichols.
Hi, I'm Christina Catane, and I write in many different genres, including Christian dystopian fiction.
And I'm Rhonda Hagerman, and I write both fiction and nonfiction. I'm currently working on some articles for my local history museum.
We like to start each of our episodes with a segment that we call the What's Up segment. So we're going to start with you today, Rhonda. What is up with you?
Well, a few episodes ago, I told you about a cartoon or a coloring book that I was doing for the museum. And basically, they just wanted a few pages of the old photos turned into a coloring book like you see these days. And Ford liked it, and they were going to go with that. But then someone who had been with the museum for 30 years remembered something that had been written, a booklet actually written by a fifth grade school teacher. And it was written for our museum. So it was dedicated, you know, it was specifically for our museum. And when I saw that, I said, why am I remaking this? You know, why don't I just throw some sheets of my coloring book into it to add this family to it? And so anyway, to make a very long story short, we are updating the old one with photos with today's technology and adding some of my coloring book pages to it. And so that is a trick.
That's done. Great.
Well, almost. Awesome. It'll be done by the next time I see you guys.
Hey, I want to know, is this person like still alive? Like, are they going to be able to see their work published?
She is. I'm actually going to meet with her tomorrow morning and discuss what she would like to see changed. She was a school teacher in the school system here for 42 years.
Wow.
And she's very dedicated to the community. And I know that there has to have been something that she wanted to update or add to it over the years. And so I'm meeting with her tomorrow morning and we're going to discuss all that.
That's great.
Awesome.
All right. What about you, Jamie? What's up with you?
Well, I've had a really productive week. I've gnashed my teeth over WordPress drama and stress, and I fought through to get Writing Shorts, the website, almost ready to go. This is very exciting for me because doing the WordPress process has been a big learning curve. And I guess it's good for my brain, keep it active and all of that, to learn something new. But learning something new is never 100% fun for me because I have certain frustrations. But anyway, I am excited to connect with other writers of short fiction through Writing Shorts, put out some good information that way. And just one more step in my writing career is this much closer to being done. Yay!
I'm so glad to hear you say some like encouraging and fun things about doing your website, because I know it's been a huge frustration for you. I know that you were like on the verge of killing some developers, at least in your novels, like murdering them off. So it's good to hear that you're having a positive experience.
Well, it is like a really minimalistic situation. I don't even think I went with one of the fancy themes. I think I just did whatever is just there. And I do not regret that decision in the least. Minimalism is totally in right now, and I'm going to rock it.
Awesome.
Good for you.
All right, Tina, what about you? What's up?
Well, Jen and I, you and I have been at camp meeting this week and, you know, staying in the camper. And so we were getting ready to come back home today, and I completely forgot my headphones, which is why I'm holding this silly white thing in front of my mouth, because I have an earbud in, and I forgot my phone somewhere. I don't know where my phone is, so I can't, I'm not sure how I'm going to make it, but. And I got some stuff accomplished. I finished another episode of my kidnapping short story series that I'm offering on Patreon, and I had some new book ideas out at camp meeting, so things are going good.
Awesome. That's awesome. What's up with you, Jen?
Well, I am as well at camp meeting in Tina's camper, and it hasn't been quite the writing retreat that, you know, maybe I kind of imagined. Part of the problem is I've been reading a book, so like I've been obsessing about finishing this book, which I didn't think I was even going to like at first, but I really ended up liking this book. it was because it's written, it's a young adult novel, which is not usually my style. So it's written in first person, which kind of threw me off for a little while. But I was sitting in service. Okay, now don't judge. This is a non-judgment zone here. I was sitting in service last night and I couldn't concentrate. I was falling asleep because the guy was a little less interesting than I'm used to. And so I was, so I started praying about my novel, my novels that I'm working on, the two. And so I just started kind of taking notes. Before I knew it, I had finally kind of figured out some bad plot points that I could not get through before now. So like now I am super stoked about this contemporary novel. Like I feel like I could sit down and write it all tonight, which I obviously cannot, but I'm like very excited. So that's what's up with me. I'm still struggling with Phoebe. So maybe when the guy preaches again, I'll have some news.
We need to experiment with writing during church. We like to just like, crash a bunch of church services and sit in the back and write and see what happens.
So don't judge me, listeners. When you listen to this, you need to understand that like the pastor that preached before, I was like completely enthralled and so good, but I just was not, it wasn't just not happening last night. So
I think we've all been there. I don't think so. There's going to be any judgment. I mean, how can you not sit there and wonder, did I leave the stove on after I made breakfast? You know what I mean? And then sometimes you're just gone because you just can't stop that nagging. But I'm glad that worked out positive for you, Jen.
Yeah, it was great. She wrote,
and I probably snored. That's probably what
I mean. Oh, no.
And we're going to tell, the cool thing is today we're talking about plotting and pantsing and one or the other. And I just absolutely did some plotting and I'll be able to show a little bit of what I did. So it kind of all works together. So let's go ahead and get into our episode. Today we are talking about planting versus
planting.
No, Rhonda, no, don't go to
gardens. No gardens, Rhonda, no.
Plotting versus pantsing. That's what we're talking about today. Now, I consider myself more of a plotter. Rhonda, I think that you would consider yourself a plotter as well. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, as much as I love planting, I do love plotting as well. I have tried pantsing. And when we have our 15-minute exercises, of course I'm pantsing. Even though last night when I was laying in bed, I thought, should I come up with a story so I can write more words, have a longer story like everybody else tomorrow? And I didn't. I didn't. But I do enjoy plotting just because when I need that structure. You know, I come up with all of the points in the plot. But when I hit a wall, I know that I can skip down to another point. So I love plotting.
That's me too. I started off as a pantser. And I think we've talked about this in previous episodes, that my first novel was at 120,000 words. Most romances are between 65 and 85. 120,000 words and nowhere near finished. So that was my problem, was like, I just was like writing. I had no idea where it's going. So I turned to plotting as well. And we're going to talk a little bit later about exactly how I do it and how each of us do it. But so plotting is when you outline basically and you plan things out before you even start writing or before you get too much into the meat of your writing. But Jamie and Tina, I would say that you two are probably more pantsers. Would you agree or disagree?
I think so. Yeah, I think me more than Tina. I think I'm more of a pantser. Mostly because I think back when I was in school, they didn't have a term for ADD or ADHD. I'm not even joking. Like, seriously, I would have been diagnosed because I just cannot, with most movies and anything that takes too long, I'm kind of like over it. So if I've already told myself the story, it's so hard to go back and then write the story. So if I plot it out, I feel like the magic is gone and there's nowhere left for me to be creative with it. So unless I sit down at the keyboard and surprise myself, I really just don't want to do it. And it becomes a humongous chore. So that's why I am more of a pantser. Tina, what do you like about pantsing?
Well, I started out as a pantser, like a complete pantser probably. Well, I don't know if our listeners understand what the difference is between plotting and pantsing. Plotting is when you do an outline and then you write from your outline. And pantsing is when you just sit down and write whatever comes out.
By the seat of your pants.
Right, by the seat of your pants. And so when I first started Nano, I had ended up with a 90,000, it just took me several years, but a 90,000 word, I don't even know what it was. It just went nowhere. Although there were several good ideas inside that 90,000 words. So now I've kind of moved more to being a loose plotter, I guess. Sometimes I don't plot my next plot until I have the first plot done, if that makes sense. I do a lot of erasing of my plot, like my outline, because I'll have like a big idea. For example, I was writing a short story about a dog sled race. And so I said, well, this is what's going to happen. And then I started writing it. And then something happened while I was writing it. And so I had to go change my whole outline.
Oh.
Because I get into the process of the writing and the characters take over and I have no choice. I just have to.
I would say that even happens with those of us that can consider ourselves plotters as well. Like I plot out very, very specifically, even by down to the chapter. But, then sometimes chapters are longer than what I expect or things happen differently and it ends up being two or three chapters instead. And so,
well, and there are so many different ways to be a plotter because, you know, I think that anybody who becomes serious about writing experiments with different ways of plotting and formatting. If you get into NaNoWriMo, you're totally pantsing. If you've never heard of it before, that means National Novel Writing Month, you write 50,000 words in a month. And a lot of times people stumble upon it October 30th. So there's no real time for plotting. So you're writing 50,000 words by the seat of your pants. So anyway, as you get more into writing, I know people, they'll explore like the snowflake method. And there's plenty of advocates out there to show you different ways to plot out your novel if you really feel like you need some kind of a skeleton to hang the meat of your story on. And likewise, if you're more of a pantser, people like Dean Wesley Smith can encourage you to do what's called writing into the dark. I know that... for the most part, Ray Bradbury encouraged pantsing to surprise yourself with the story. So there's ways that you can explore the different avenues and see, you know, how you like them.
Yep. I agree. All right. Well, let's start off Oh, go ahead, Rhonda.
I was just going to say, Jamie, you mentioned surprising yourself as the author. And I was just thinking, I love surprises, but I love giving surprises. And so I'm wondering if maybe that's one of the reasons that pantsing isn't that big of a deal for me.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I'm a reader, not myself.
Right. Yeah.
Well, on that note, Rhonda, why don't you start off telling us, how do you plot? How do you go about writing your books?
How do I plot? Okay. What I'll do is I'll come up with an idea, just a little germ of an idea, usually about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I will jump up out of bed and grab my notebook because you have to have a notebook by the side of your bed. In this day and age, everybody knows that. And I'll start writing some ideas down. And I'll wake up in the morning and I think, that was kind of a nightmare. You know, maybe I need to redo that. And what I'll do, if I still like the idea, then I will just brain dump. I will just scribble all sorts of ideas down and just, you know, do that freely for 2 or 3 days, just write as much down as I can. And then I will sit down and specifically cherry pick the things that I do like, get rid of the things I don't like. And then after that, what I'll do is I'll get my actual outline hat on and I'll say, okay, this is my opening scene. This is my hook. This is my this. This is my that. Because there are specific things that different genres need. And the genre that I write in, which is usually women's fiction, I need to be able to fulfill all the either the tropes or the expectations of the reader. And so I can see where I've got my holes that I need to fill. When I did NaNoWriMo the first time, I pantsed it because I really didn't know anything about writing. I knew that I enjoyed doing it and getting my thoughts down. But when I got done with the end of the month and I didn't quite get all the words, but, you know, I got a, I thought, wow, this is going to be a huge book and not even done with it. And it's going to be great. So I went through and reread everything I'd written. And it was shockingly horrible. There was no meaning to it. There was no path for anything to follow. You know, so anyway, that's when I started looking up outlining and plotting and started doing that.
All right.
And, you know, like Jamie mentioned the surprise. I don't know. I guess I like to have a little bit more control over all the elements. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little uptight about that. I don't know. But that's just how I like to do it. And I am able to do it that way.
Hey, and that's how you do it. So there's nothing wrong with it because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jen? Or are we going to do someone else first?
I don't know. Do you want to go to pantsing and then back to me? Or do you want to just focus on plotting right now? Either way works for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I was just throwing it to Jen because I'm seeing your big board behind you. And all right, I'm we'll go to the board.
This is actually like, well, this is a funny thing is I have misplaced, and I know I didn't get rid of it. I have misplaced my board for the novel that's already finished. For Searching for Anna. It's somewhere around here. This is a board that all of you ladies had lovingly referred to as the isolation booth because when we went on writing retreat, this is what you would see when it was a writing sprint. I would isolate
that up for the rest of the show.
This is what they're used to seeing, so I might as well.
Yes. You know, yeah.
So I would isolate myself. I wasn't trying to isolate myself. I was just staring at this. And if you look at it, what this is, and you can find, I found this YouTube videos all over the place talking about this. But when I, first of all, let me start off with, when I begin with a story idea, I start with the what ifs. If you follow K.M. Wyland at all, one of her theories is, or one of her things is what ifs. So I have a story idea in my head. Like the one of them I'm working on right now is what would it be like if a writer who was kind of on the shy side met a movie star and didn't even like him to begin with? Like, what would that be like from two different worlds? And so then I started doing a list of what ifs. Well, what if he was from a small town too? What if she had been married before? What if? So I just write down a bunch of things, most of which I won't even use. And then from that is when I normally get my disasters. Jamie mentioned the snowflake method. I kind of dabbled in the snowflake method for a while, but it was too much. It's a lot of work to do the snowflake method. But what I did get out of the snowflake method was how to split up my my acts. So if you look at this, this is just one of those science fair project things. It's kind of hard to see, but it folds like this and whatever. So this flap over here is my first act. The big flap in the middle is my second act, split into two parts. And my this one over here is my third act. So a normal three-act structure. At the end of the first act, which will be 25% in, is when I have my first disaster. 50% in. Right smack dab, pretty much in the middle of this act is when I have my second disaster. My third disaster comes 75% in, and then you have the climax. And in romance, which is what I write, the disaster really just means what keeps them apart. So in romance, you want the two characters to meet very quickly so that you start to like them. You want to start introducing them and see them interact with each other. But then once they kind of that spark happens, then you do things to pull them apart. That's really what you do as a romance writer. Like, oh, look at how great they'd be together. Oh, but no. So the disasters are really kind of more like the pulling of them apart. So I do it up this way, and then I decide how many words I want this book to be, and that's how I kind of figure out how many chapters I'm going to have, and then I start putting ideas in the chapters. And that's what I was doing, as I mentioned in the What's Up. That's what I was doing a lot of yesterday during that sermon. And and actually this morning I woke up in the 4 o'clock hour, which is pretty darn crazy that I'm still actually like upright right now because I'm pretty darn tired. But I didn't bring it up. Anyway, I will do a table in Microsoft Word that that will look very similar to this, and that's what I start with. And in that, here, I got it right here. in that table, then I start typing ideas for the chapters. It's not coming up because it's my old computer. But they will look very similar to this. And then sometimes I'll do a board, sometimes it won't. Depends on how quickly I'm writing it. But it helps me to be able to see. Can you guys even see that? Probably not, huh? No, that's pointless,
not
right?
Not really.
Okay.
Maybe you could put a screenshot into your editing.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll put in a quick screenshot. Just don't copy my ideas, all right? And that's how I do it. I am that like specific, like this is what's going to be in this chapter, what's going to be in that chapter. And I follow through. If this is my disaster, what happens to happen has to happen from here down to here to get to that disaster. And then I know what the next disaster is, what happens to happen, has to happen in these chapters to get to that point. But having said that, I'm also kind of a little bit of a pantser in that. If something happens and the characters say something I wasn't expecting, or something happens while I'm writing into the story that I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen, then I can change it too. So usually this is covered with post-it notes as well. So that's how I go about plotting when I do that. I think that kind of covers it. All right. So let's talk pantsing now. Jamie, you want to go first? Tell us how you do it. You sit down and you're super creative and you're a genius and it's done. Boom. That's what it looks like.
My process is basically the reverse of yours, Jen. So I will go, okay, well, first of all, there's a difference between writing a longer work and doing short fiction. So that is going to be a different thing. A lot of times I can, sit down and you know, pretty much barf out a story. And while I'm writing, I'm not someone to 100% lock up my editor. I like to try to do a clean draft if I can, and then hand it off to somebody to say, did I miss something? But basically I'm typing a few lines and then I'm sort of scrolling back up and then getting back into it. So the process is more of like, it's more of like a birthing anyway. So you're like just a little at a time, getting that story out. And when I sit down to write a story, I pretty much know what the story is. And so I just am telling it, right? Sort of as like the movie is playing out in my mind. But when the piece starts to get longer, like for example, I'm working on a punk rock piece right now that I absolutely love, but it's starting to become kind of longer. And I'm sort of, plotting, even if unintentionally, in my head, where the story will go next and what is going to happen next and what the, you know, antagonist is like and all of these things. So I may not be putting pen to paper, but my brain is doing the work of a plotter. So I'm sort of a hybrid planser or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so but for the most part, I'm sitting down and I'm writing it as I think of it. Because again, I have tried outlining and then those are the stories I never write because I feel like I done told them. So I prefer to get it down and get excited about what I've done and what I've written to kind of keep me going and to make sure that the piece will get finished.
I think it's really, there's another thing that's really important that you said that we should point out too, that I think might be different if you're a plotter or a pantser, but you said that you edit as you go. And that might be partially because you write short works, but it also might be because you're plantsing or you're pantsing because if you're pantsing, you're going fast and finishing it, but you want it to be right the first time. I do not write that clean to begin with. And you guys know that we have this famous, like when you see me do this, if I'm reading something aloud, it means I'm not sure what I want to put there. So I put a row of giant X's so it stands out to me and I get to it later. Like I don't have to have, when I finish a chapter, a rough edit, a rough write written, I don't have to have that complete, but you do. Yours are, you could almost just take yours and print them.
Again, it's so interesting because I believe it was Ray Bradbury talked about some writer, and I can't remember who it was. And of course, this is back in the day of typewriters. Yeah. He sat in a department store window and wrote every day and then would tape the manuscript to the window so the people who were coming up to the department store could read what he was writing right then. Now, I don't think that my work is ever to that level on the first go through, but it is possible to produce clean copy. And that's like a goal that I have, but I don't think that I've achieved that. It's just something that you could do. Because again, I want to write a lot of words. I want to become better. So I want to practice, but also educate myself. So I'm not practicing bad writing over and over and just remaining a bad writer. So, so I think it's just because of the style that I write and that I'm just telling stories, right? It's different, I think, than writing a novel. Tina, would you agree? Because I know that you're sort of a hybrid plotter and pantser.
Yes.
Because you turned out some really clean stuff, like in 15 minutes.
Agreed.
Yeah, I feel like I plot my novel in that I know where I'm starting from and I know where I'm going to. And I generally know how I'm getting there. But when I sit down to write a scene, then I'm definitely pantsing. So I'm the story I'm writing, I'm using what's called the hero's journey story arc. And so instead of having an outline, I have like what comes next in the hero's journey. So for example, you're supposed to start a hero's journey by showing the world, the normal world that the hero lives in, and then introducing that hero within their normal world. Okay. So I knew who my character was. I am one that sits down and like figures out, okay, what color are her eyes? What month was she born in? What's her favorite food? You know, that kind of stuff, so that I really know my character. And then I sit down to write, and I don't know ahead of time really how I'm going to show that world or what she's going to be doing in it until I type it.
So where can you tell the viewers, why do you know about the hero's journey? Like, what is that from? Like,
well, I heard of it. Oh, and I am going to not remember his name.
Story Grid. Right? Isn't that what it was? The story?
Yeah, I was listening to the Story Grid podcast, and they were talking about the hero's journey. And then I had an audio book that I bought, and it was Vogler and this other guy teaching a class at a university. Mm. And so it's an audio recording of this class they were teaching on the two hero's journeys. And that's about the physical journey of the hero at the same time that you're telling the emotional, mental, psychological journey of the hero at the same time. And so these two professors were experts, I'm not sure what their titles were, but it was very interesting. And so I got a outline or a graph off the internet that shows the hero's journey, and I'm just following each point. And so I know that I'm going to hit each point. I know that my hero, I showed her in her world. I showed her call to action or her call to the quest. And then the next thing is they usually deny the quest or refuse it. And so I've gotten through that part. And then the mentor comes and changes their mind. And then they go on the quest. Like, that's the first quarter of your book. So that's basically what I'm following. But then as I write each scene, I'm totally painting it. If that makes sense.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about it until Rhonda brought it up that we're all pantsing our writing exercises. So even plotters, maybe it's fun to just throw the control out the window. Rhonda, do you think it's fun to throw or does it super stress you out as a major plotter? Just want to know.
No, I do need to have it kind of planned out. I do.
Well, thank you for being such a good sport, because everything you've written for our exercises has been really good. So, yes,
well, that's why I enjoy the exercises, because then I have an excuse, because it's only 15 minutes of writing, and I can experiment with pantsing. It's not my favorite thing to do, though.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think that's really important though, for us to talk about, though, is that if you are a plotter, it probably would be a good exercise for you, and it'd be good for your writing to pants some things. Mm-hmm. And if you're a pantser, especially if you've gotten to a point in your story where you seem blocked. I know I've seen people online say it. I've met other people that say it that, you know, they started a book and then they just stopped. Like, or they started a book and they just didn't know what else to do with it, or it's just too hard. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably because they were pantsing, and if they would sit down and do some plotting, all of a sudden it would re-energize them. So just like me, there's all kinds of things you can do too. Like, I bought this notebook for like $2. It came with a pen at our camp meeting because I knew that if I switched to pen and paper, it would somehow activate a different part of my brain. And it did. It got me thinking it down a different road and helped me to get going again with this novel. That's something you can do. But I really do think that like that no matter what you are, whether you're a plotter or a pantser, that it would help your writing to try to flip the page and try to do something else outside your comfort zone, because it will stretch you and make your writing better.
I agree. And I think that you, the bottom line is you just have to figure out what gets you across the finish line. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a journey to what? To publication, right? We're not writing, you know, personal diaries that are never going to be read by anybody. We want our stories to be told to the world.
Yes.
So whatever keeps you going, some people get stuck and they need to sit down and write a conversation between their main characters without planning it, just to kind of get that wall knocked down that wall that is stopping you up from getting it done, son.
Agreed. And such attitude, sassiness. Agreed. All right, thanks. That was a great conversation. Anyone else got anything else to add before we move on?
I just wanted to say that for me, the exercises that we do seem to be a good cross between plotting and pantsing, because we have the prompts that we have to use. So
it's
we're
kind of
not
an outline.
Just sitting down writing cold, just something that came.
Yeah.
And we have these
good
workers
point. Mm-hmm.
That have suddenly sparked something creative, but we have to stick to it. So
right.
It's kind of like a happy medium almost.
And there's no reason why somebody, there's no reason why somebody out there who's listening to us right now couldn't pick up an apple to apples game and do what we did today, or couldn't go online and find a word generator and do what we did today for their story, which kind of is a great transition, because when I read mine, you're going to see that I actually was able to write within my story, because that's
nice.
Where my brain is today.
Nice.
So, all right, great. So now let's transition over to our feeding of the backs.
Yes. I think that it was very generous of you to volunteer to go first. And I think that you should.
I think I did too. So I'll do it.
Yes.
So this is our feedback time here on the show, and a reminder of how it works for us. Now, sometimes like in our postcast, we will present a piece of writing that we have worked on, that we have edited and have polished, and then we will share it for critique, meaning that the others will read what we have wrote and will then be able to give us some critical feedback and be able to help us to make our writing better. But like right now, what we do in the podcast is we do a raw, unedited piece that we honestly have just written just 5 minutes before, 15 minutes before we start recording. So it's unedited, but it's also exciting and it's fun to be able to share this with each other. So I am going to go first today. Today we did, once again, like we did last week, we decided to play apples to apples, and we pulled one green and two reds, which means we did one adjective and two nouns this week. And our words this week were radical, trampoline, and brain surgeons. Well, let's see what we did with that. I got to tell you, though, when I started off, I was 60 words in, and I was like, I hate this. Not like what I'm writing.
Oh, I hate mine.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going, because my, like I told you earlier, my head now is so inside this other story. It's all I can think about right now. And so I'm like, I'm just going to write inside the story. I don't know how I'm going to use these words, but I'm going into the story with it. So here's what I had. Contemporary romance. I can't see a thing, Jamie said, frustration evident in her voice. Jace breathed near her ear. Trust me, he said softly. Jamie said nothing. She tried to take a step forward, but with Jace's hand over her eyes, she really was under his control, and he liked it. He remained motionless. What's the matter? She asked. I thought you were going to... Say it, he said softly. She tried to turn her head, but his hand followed the movement, blocking any attempt to leer at him out of the corner of her eye. Say what? Say that you trust me. He brushed a kiss onto her shoulder. Her shoulders were completely covered by her shirt, but he enjoyed the sensation of touching her in that gentle way. and apparently so did she. He felt her back relax against his chest. I do, she whispered. I trust you. He moved then, guiding her around the side of the house to his backyard. He positioned her, then lifted his hand. Jamie blinked several times, then turned a confused face toward him. A trampoline? This was your big surprise? A trampoline? You need some fun in your life. She frowned. This is radical medicine, even for you. Much needed medicine. I'm no brain surgeon, but even I can tell you haven't had a moment of fun in a very long time. I plan to give you that on this date, and this date begins here. On the trampoline. He held out his hand to her. On the trampoline.
Yay! Oh, that's so
good. At one point, I had goosebumps.
Really?
Yes, I actually did. But they went away quickly at one point. But
when I said trampoline?
Yeah, yeah.
So romantic. It was so,
yeah.
Now, all right. I may change trampoline to something else. I don't know. But like, at least that was the inspiration, which I want listeners to know. Like, you can do these activities and get inspired and write something and then go back and change it later. But you can't edit anything you haven't written. So if you're blocked, do some of these kind of activities. It really does help. So
I would agree. That was very fun to read. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me because of what I know about this story. You and I are going to have to talk about where does this come in the story.
I was hoping you would tell me.
Oh. All right. Well, I don't want to give away too much to your readers, so we'll have to have a talk after.
Right. I'm very excited.
Very, very, very good. There's
very, very good.
There's plotting, pantsing, and then friends.
Yes.
Friends tell you where to do things. That works for me, too.
Right.
Now write a scene where blah 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 happened.
Right.
I think they call it collaboration, but yeah, I have Tina to take out words I don't need and couldn't figure that out, and I have Jamie for me to bounce ideas off of, and then Rhonda to tell me when I'm just way off base, like when my characters are really terrible and she hates them.
So
it's a perfect combination.
That's awesome.
I'm a word burner now.
All right. Well, the randomizer let me down and put me first of the three that were remaining.
Yay. Aww,
so random.org says it goes Jamie, Tina, Rhonda.
All right.
Just so y'all know. And so I will read you mine, which in advance, I've not ever said this before of anything that I've written for this podcast, but I hate this piece, but whatever. Okay.
It's trampolines.
And also,
what do you do with trampolines?
I know. And then also, I realized as we were reviewing what the three words were that I missed one. So anyway, here we go. It was warm for Halloween, and Dusty pulled at the sweaty face hole of her unicorn costume. It's too hot for this nonsense, she groused. I don't want to hear it from you, replied Jen. At least you get to be the front end.
I'm the back end. Awesome.
I get to be this famous world author. You get to be the back end of my unicorn. But anyway, all right. So
it's perfect.
Well, at least you're not a total spectacle when the parts are separated, Dusty said, eyeballing her friend. In fact, honestly, you are totally rocking that thing. Yeah, the manufacturers were considerate enough to make the suspenders cute anyway, Jen said, pulling on the rainbow striped straps as she spoke. But why did they have to make this getup out of a material that is so ever-loving unbreathable? If they were good designers, they'd be making stuff for runways in Paris or something instead of making third-rate Halloween costumes. We should have come as zombie brain surgeons like I wanted to, Dusty said, looking around the park at the elaborate face makeup of the other contestants. A cyborg stood in line at the Tilt-A-Whirl. Look, you agreed to this one on the condition that I let you be the front half. Now here we are. Deal with it. Well, the costume contest doesn't start for an hour. What do you want to do? I don't know. Not many options for me wearing these weird hoof pants. Take them off. I can't. I only have a pair of leggings underneath. And before you say it, she added, holding up a finger when she saw Dusty's mouth open, I won't just wear the leggings around the fair. Leggings are not pants. It was too hot to rehash this age-old debate between them, so Dusty said nothing. She wiped her head on her unicorn four-leg arm and glanced around, looking for a good way to pass the time before competition. "Hey now," she said, ribbing Jen. "There's a couple of trampolines with bungee cords on them. We could put the costume back together and jump around. That would give the kids a kick." Jen put her hands on her hips and raised an eyebrow. "Did you even just hear what you just suggested?" "Well, what do you want to do then? It's hot and I'm hangry." Just as the words left Dusty's mouth, the words of a carnival barker came over the loudspeaker. "Guess your weight, guess your birthday, or you win a prize," the voice said. Jen and Dusty both pivoted and searched for the owner of the voice. There he was, three stalls down and on the left, the tallest, hunkiest, blue-eyed blonde the girls had ever seen. "I think I just figured out how we can spend the next hour," Dusty said. "I totally agree," Jen said. "By the way, do these pants make my butt look big?" That's what I came up
with. I love that ending.
What did you like about that? I love it.
I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, and the cyborg thing, I wanted to put more like people with cool face makeup. And so that's why that one sentence is just weirdly in there. And my Google keeps correcting H-E-A-R to H-E-R-E. So there's a typo too, but whatever. It is what it is. But thanks. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yes, I did.
I did. I really liked it, even though you made me the rear end of a mystical creature. What did you say, Tina?
What I was wondering what word she forgot.
Radical. Oh, radical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I forgot radical also. So, you know, so don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad anymore now that I got my lovely, happy feedback. So thank you for that. You get to be next, though, Tina.
Let's hear how you did without radical.
Yeah, how did you do?
Okay. I woke up to a bright light shining down into my eyes from above. After a few moments, the white lights came into focus, and I realized it was a surgical lamp. Where was I? I tried to move my head to look around, but it wouldn't move. So I rolled my eyes as far to the right as I could. Nothing but walls of pure white. I was lying flat on my back on a narrow bed of some kind. I shivered at the chill in the room. I rolled my eyes all the way to the left. This time, I could see the top of a stainless steel door with an exit sign above it. I attempted to roll to my side, but my limbs and torso appeared to be strapped down to the bed. I wanted to call out for help, but my mouth wouldn't move. Was I paralyzed? The stainless steel door opened, and I heard a cart rolling and... muffled female voices. They must be talking from behind masks of some kind. The patient is prepped and ready. The family has signed the waiver, and all the instruments have been arranged in the way Dr. Rodenstein likes them, one of the voices said. Jerry and Joe are getting the trampolines, said the other. Then the stainless steel door opened again, and the voices were gone. I tried to make sense of what they had said. Waiver, instruments, doctor... That all sounded like some surgery of some kind. But trampolines? Whatever in the world could the trampolines be for? I couldn't figure it out. I struggled against my bonds, trying to free myself from this bizarre situation. The door opened again. A man dressed in a green cap with a surgical mask over his mouth appeared above my face. His hair was in dreadlocks, and the end of each rope of hair, little mouths with sharp teeth, snapped at me. I'm going to lay out your veins end to end and measure them, said the man. I'll try not to laugh. After that, the surgeon will come in and eat them.
What? Did you what? Say it again? Eat them?
I'm sorry. This is what came out of my brain with no sleep.
Did you say eat them? Is that what you said? All right, go ahead.
Eat them with meatballs.
With meatballs. Okay.
What in the world?
Okay, sorry.
These people are crazy. I pulled and struggled, trying to cry out as the man in the green cap stabbed a dagger into the back of my hand. I wanted to scream, but couldn't. The lights from the lamp got blurry again, and I started to drift. Pink and purple clouds with small dragons on them floated across the ceiling. I heard the stainless steel door opening and closing, but could no longer avert my eyes to see it. Are we hungry? I heard a man say. You're the brain surgeon. Are you hungry? Asked another. I am. Let's do this. Let's get this meatball out of there.
What in the world?
Tina, You need to go to bed earlier tonight.
Of course, I love it because I like gruesome and I like unexpected and quirky and weird. And that was all of that. Super fun.
I love it too. I'm just teasing you. It was super fun.
I wonder, like, though, because I know that your kidnapping story is like on the darker sort of a side, but that almost sounded a little bit like it could be like a dark humor starting to happen. Like, did you feel like it would have went in some really kind of a screwball way, or were you really trying to be super dark and serious?
I don't know. The guy had, did you guys figure out that the meatball was a brain tumor?
So they're imagining all this stuff because of the brain tumor.
The patient has a brain tumor, and it's causing him to hear and see things.
Well, that changes things.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But then I ran out of time.
You ran out of time.
Yeah.
That's so
cool. You should totally like finish and polish that. It's really, really good. Anyway. Because for sure, your brain is going to think weird things if you're compromised like that. Yeah, real good.
Awesome.
So I don't know if it was dark or if it was funny or what it was. It just was what it was.
I don't know how we could write anything dark with the word trampoline in it. I don't know. I keep obsessing over trampoline, but.
I loved how when you described only movies, it made me feel so claustrophobic.
Right.
Just, it was a very excellent piece of writing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rhonda. Rhonda. Last.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that Tina's could have been like the beginning of my story.
Oh.
And then the dreadlocks came out and then that kind of, but now that I know it's a brain tumor, it could be.
Maybe we should collaborate. Yes.
Nice.
All right. Doctor, is there any hope for her? Jen sneaks a glance over her shoulder at me. The brain is such a fragile organ. We know so little about it. The doc checks something off his clipboard. This could be tiny strokes. It could be early dementia showing itself. Her drug test came back. He paused to run his finger down the chart again. Negative, so she's not doing putting anything into her body to cause her strange behavior. He stifled a shrug and closed his clipboard. There's nothing left to do. We have no radical treatments for this. Time will tell. As the doctor left the room, Jamie said something about brain surgeons into her phone. Jen looked at me with her serious face and hand pose, trying to solve the puzzle that was me. Tina walked to my bedside. It's like her mind is a trampoline. Her thoughts just bounce around in there. Jen and Jamie had moved closer now, both nodding their agreement. Guys, I'm right here. There's nothing wrong with me. Panic started to rise in my chest. It's the headphones. They keep shorting out. I grabbed Tina's hand. Tina, you hear me, right? She didn't respond. Okay, I took away the first line.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to add it to the end, but I didn't get that. Every time my microphone cuts out, you're talking about something new and unrelated.
That's awesome.
I love it. At first, I'm like, oh, how touching. Rhonda has us there at her bedside. And then it's the headphones. Curse you, headphones.
That's horrible. Awesome. Headphones. I cannot win.
That was so cool.
I love that. Thank you, Rhonda.
How biographical that was.
Yes.
True life stories right here.
That was great. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for doing the contest. I know it's rough.
You don't act like it's rough, though, because you always produce some great writing. So
yes.
No. I definitely love it. This is my favorite part. When we're on our retreat, absolutely, if we hadn't done it, I would have forced us to do it. And it's because it's so different. Because it gets my mind, it like lubricates my brain.
Agreed. Me as well. Yes. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
All right. Like I've had my time out in the past year running around like a little lamb, and then I can get to the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little lamb bouncing on the trampolines.
Yes.
All right. It's time for us to visit our accountability corner, where we check in with one another to make sure we are moving forward in our careers and on our journey toward publication. Of course, there are paths along the journey, and each looks a little bit different. So we all will have a different road towards publication, but we're all going on that road together. So we do our goals. We talk about them here in the podcast. And so now it's time for us to revisit those. So we're going to start off. How about you, Tina? Share your goals with us.
My goals for last week were to write every day. I did not get that accomplished. Camp meeting was like a big wrench in the works. And I thought about it every day.
Oh. You could call it plotting.
Yes, yeah. I was daydreaming about my plot in my head. So there you go. But I really want to be able to say that I wrote every day for the rest of camp meeting, which is going to go till next Monday. So
we're going to do it
pretty much until the next podcast. So
we are going to do it. I'm going to go next because I feel like I'm going to piggyback off of that because I am camping with you. I agree. I'm going to write every single day. That's my goal. I want to get in my 5,000 words this week. Now that I have a really good structure for this contemporary, I can be writing on that while I'm editing the historical, and I should be able to do kind of plod along with this one. So that's my goal for the week. What about you,
Let's
Jamie?
Let's not do it during the sermon, though.
Well,
yeah.
No,
we should probably.
Depends on which guy's preaching. I'm just going to leave
that
out
there. I'll give it.
I'll do my best.
Well, I wrote every day. My goal was 5,000 words, and right now I'm at 4,700 words, which makes me super happy. That includes 2.5 new complete short stories, and awesome. Also that work, in spite of the fact that I also did all of that work on the websites and I'm feeling pretty encouraged. Oh, I also entered a contest where you have to, well, it's not a contest. The guy's doing a, when you put up an anthology of short 42 word stories. So I wrote 3 of those. That was so fun and such a challenge. Anyway, so I want to do 5,000 words. I now know that that is completely doable. And also I've been editing some work too. So I know that 5,000 is sort of a sweet spot comfort zone for me because really it's about 500 words when I just can't get the words out. But then when I'm excited about the story, I can, you know, wrap something up and have a couple of 1,000 word days. So I feel like that's attainable and that's my goal for the next time.
Great.
Awesome.
All right. What about you, Rhonda?
Well, I did a pretty good job sticking with my goals for last week. my heart wasn't completely, not that I didn't want to write, but I wasn't real go get them trying to exceed my goals. But I think I just was off by one article. But this week I have got to focus on getting my blog online. So I'm going to write a few blog posts and by next Tuesday, my blog will be online.
What is your plan? Are you going to do twice a week, update it 3 times a week? What is your plan right now? Because I know you're really banking a bunch of those.
Yeah. I think for right now, I'm going to do, I was thinking 4 days a week, you know, 4 new posts a week just to accumulate it on there. And then I probably will settle into 3 times a week because I've got enough content when I research every day, I've got plenty of things that I can write about. So that won't be a problem. It'll just be getting into the habit of doing it.
Awesome.
Great. All right. Awesome. I think now is a good time to remind our listeners that we have an excellent resource available to anyone who will join our mailing list. In addition to never missing an episode of the Christian Indie Writers podcast, you get a free download of our critique cheat sheet. I have to say that slow because I stumble on words. Critique cheat sheet, which will help you both give and receive critique. Click the link below to join our mailing list. We promise we will never spam you. We will never sell your information, and you can unsubscribe at any time. But please subscribe to our mailing list, join the fun, and be able to get this free, awesome resource. And it's also a time for us to talk about the podcast. If you have not already subscribed to our Patreon, go on over there and do it right now. Again, that link is below as well. On our Patreon, you can support us in what we do here at the Christian Indie Writers podcast, where you can support us just because you love us. You can also, at certain levels, be able to join us in the postcast and see what happens after the show, including when we share our edited works for full-on critique. Trust me, it's a lot of fun. It also gives you a little bit of a sneak peek into what we're working on months before anyone else will get to see them in publication. So click the link below, become a Patreon supporter, and support this podcast. All right, ladies, great show. So until next week, may your pen be prolific, may your deadlines be met, and may all of your words honor Christ. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye.